The following audio is from Central Christian Church, located in Portales, New Mexico. To connect with Central, go to centralwired.org.
church. Most of us are familiar with the term bucket list, which describes a list of things a person wants to accomplish, places to visit, people to see, etc., before they kick the bucket. The term became part of a popular vocabulary because of the movie in 2007, The Bucket List, which chronicles the exploits of two terminally ill men who formulate a bucket list, and they try to accomplish everything on that list before they die. I wonder, in today, if that same terminology, a bucket list, you can put that to Christ. As Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ lived an extraordinary life. John wrote that it would be impossible for the world's book to record all the amazing things that he did. No doubt, if the term bucket list had been back in the first century, many people would have placed listening to Jesus or seeing Jesus do a miracle on their list. But Jesus himself had one main item on his bucket list. That item was announced to Joseph even before Jesus' birth. He will save his people from their sins. Jesus spoke of that purpose on other occasions, and especially as he approached Jerusalem after 3 years of ministry. He had come to give his life as a ransom for many. He was here to seek and to save the lost. Every human being was on Jesus' bucket list. He came to die for the sins of the whole world. And he, one might say, crossed that item off his bucket list. Many of us put a to-do list at the beginning of the day or the week to help us prioritize what we need to accomplish. Communion provides us the time to reflect upon Jesus, to die list, and to remember that each one of us was on that list. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father God, we come to you this morning, and we thank you that we have this time of remembrance for what Jesus did for us, that he died for each of us, that we might not perish, that we might have eternal life with him and with you. Father, allow us to go into this world and disciple for you. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's been called the perfect movie, 1987 Rob Reiner's The Princess Bride, because I've been very on the record of how I feel about this movie. I love it. If you want an action movie, watch Princess Bride. If you want a comedy, watch Princess Bride. If you want romance, watch Princess Bride. If you want great fight scenes, watch Princess Bride. And of course, the quotability factor. I mean, come on. Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed. Prepare. I mean, listen to that. That's so elegant. I mean, it's a polite greeting. He uses his own name. It has relevant personal data, and he manages expectations. Hey, you're going to die. You know, I think that's healthy. That's a great intro. Inconceivable. Now, I don't know that I quote that one much, but I quote the response to it a lot. I do not think that word means what you think it means. Anybody use that one a lot? There's tons of quotes in this movie. One that comes from the Dread Pirate Roberts, though, that helps me a lot, is not one of the more famous ones, but it is very useful. Wesley says, "Life is pain." And anyone telling you differently is selling something. Sometimes even Christ followers deal with pain. and discouragement. Now, some religions are going to tell you that God wants you rich and happy and no problems ever. Well, the Bible won't back up that theology. That's why we're doing this Running the Gauntlet series. How to carry on through difficult mental health issues. We've talked about anxiety, worry, discouragement, anger, guilt, depression. And how do we carry on? This week we're talking about discouragement. Now, as I've said from the beginning, this is not meant to be a diagnosis time. This is not like all of us jump on WebMD and find out everything that's wrong with us, and now suddenly we have every disease known to mankind. It's not what our purpose is. Our purpose is to look at some of the things that harm us. If the gauntlet is life, and things are trying to knock the ball out of our hands or knock the baton out of our hands, what is it that how can we deal with those things? And if we're going to talk about discouragement, there's lots of places in the Bible. But I really want to look at this one in Romans 15. It's a short little passage, and I hope you'll keep your Bible open. And I hope if you're a highlighter, you'll highlight this one. This is Paul talking, and I'm reading it from the New Living Translation. If you're joining us on the radio or online, welcome to Central Christian Church. Let's look at Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Christians should be the most hope-filled people on planet Earth. And I agree with that. And I love that slide. Problem. Many times we're hurting just like everyone else. The state of New Mexico, every year they do a thing called the New Mexico Youth Risk and Resiliency Survey. It surveys junior high and high school students, and it's a myriad of questions of what are they eating, what are their habits, how things are going. It's a blind survey. They don't put a name on it. And I was able to get a hold of some of it this week. This is the data from 2022. They've taken the 2023 one, but all the data has not been released yet. So this is the 2022 data, but it was I was able to get it broken down into Roosevelt County. And this is data. This is not worldwide. This is data from 9th through 12th grades in Roosevelt County. And here are some of the statistics that it dealt with. 14.5% of the teenagers in Roosevelt County have felt bullied, and 12.4% have skipped school because they were afraid. 48% have taken marijuana regularly, and of that group that did, 59% said they were girls. I don't know if that matters. I thought that was really interesting. Of teenagers in Roosevelt County, 42% of 9th through 12th graders are sexually active. 29% they said they were active before age 13. And the one that really stung me was 22.8% of teenagers in Roosevelt County have seriously considered suicide. That is up from 17.9% in 2019. Now, I don't want to just throw a bunch of stats at you. It's not TED Talks, okay? But that is a window into what our teenagers are seeing. You see what I'm saying? That is seeing how they are feeling. But the problem is, it's not just teenagers that are feeling discouraged. In our church family, we have people dealing with grief. Some it's fresh. Some it's several years. Everybody deals with grief differently. In our church family are people going in the midst of a divorce. In our church family are couples that have battled infertility. In our church family, there are people dealing with disaster close in their family. We're watching all this stuff over in the Panhandle and Amarillo and Canadian and all that stuff. And many of us know people or have family over in that area. It's discouraging. Some in our church family deal with chronic pain on a day-to-day basis. Lupus, fibromyalgia, things like that, that every day is a different kind of pain. Some in our church family are dealing with job concerns. Some are dealing with money concerns. Some in our church family are just looking out at the world and looking at the news, and they're really concerned about how things are going in the United States or in New Mexico. Anybody? All of us are facing damages to our hope. I love this slide, and I would love for us to be carried away on balloons of hope, but life comes along, pokes our balloons, right? I mean, it busts our bubbles. Paul is talking to two distinct groups in the book of Romans here. There's two distinct groups in a small church. We're studying Romans in our Wednesdays in the Word group, and both of these groups are facing pressure. On one side of the room, you've got Jewish believers. They were raised with the Torah. They were raised with laws and rules and regulations, and they knew that was their connection to God. But then they met Jesus, and so they're trying to figure out how that fleshes out. And then on the other side of the room are these Gentile believers that were raised pagan with multiple gods, maybe little wooden gods around the house. Didn't have a lot of rules. They meet this Jesus, and they're trying to flesh out how this looks and how it works out. And all of them are battling expectations that weren't being met. And it leads to disappointment. If you were with us in our XO conference last weekend, one of our speakers was a guy named Dan Leanne. And he talked about that discouragement and disappointment is the space between our expectations and our reality. And all of this in here is discouragement. I expected the vacation to be this. The reality of our vacation, it was this. And so there's a lot of disappointment. There's a lot of discouragement in here. And I love that analogy. You see, these believers expected things to be better. Hey, we follow Jesus now. We're not going to have to listen to these Romans anymore. We're not going to have any problems in our country anymore. Everything's going to get better. But the reality is, the world continues to have problems, even when we believe. So Paul starts this little passage with the identity of God. Now look real close in verse 13. He says, I pray that God, not just any old God, God the source of hope. Friends, if you're going through a season of discouragement right now, our hope is not in what's going on. Our hope is in Him. Now that may be hard to hear, but I'm afraid all too often, I'm afraid some Christ followers base their belief on that God is with me on what's going on in their life. Example, hey, we prayed and grandma got better. Yay, God. All right, God. Things are great. Or, hey, man, we needed a job and God came through. Praise God, we got a job. What happens when the car breaks down, or the job doesn't work out, or it really is cancer? Is God any less God? No, He is not. But sometimes we look at the circumstances and we, oh no, it's all discouragement because our expectation is we love God, so everything's going to work out. But reality is sometimes things don't work out. Friends, your circumstances are not a good litmus test of whether or not God is with you. And it brings me back to what Wesley says in Princess Bride. Life is pain. Anyone saying different is selling something. God says in Psalm 147, the Lord delights in those who fear Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love. Prophet Jeremiah in chapter 17 says, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. James 1, chapter 1, verse 3, consider it pure joy when trials come. Consider it an opportunity, because certain blessings only come in and through the discouragement, in and through the brokenness. But some are going to use pain or discouragement as a reason to blame God. They're going to look at something the church has done or somebody in the church has hurt them. And so it must be God. I'm not going to trust Him. Friends, we should be looking to God, not away from God. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth and the problems that we're dealing with and the struggles and the discouragement we're having, they don't go away, but they go dim. Did you notice that? It's not a, oh, magically sing this song and all of our problems go away. No, it is a mindset that says they're not as big as my God. Many of you might remember the name Vaclav Havel when Czechoslovakia was trying to break free from the Soviet Union. Havel was one of the guys that led the unions in trying to get the regular people free. And he made this quote, and I love this quote, that hope is the certainty that something makes sense, no matter how it turns out. He wrote that from prison. He was in a Russian prison for trying to help his fellow man. He knew it was the right thing to do. Now, friends, I want you to hear this. This is not about guilt. Sometimes you come in here and you're discouraged and you're beat up and you're broken and you get into the room, and then I quote all those verses from Jeremiah and Psalms, and the Lord delights in those that hope in him, and you're going, well, great, I'm worse. I'm still dealing with my brokenness. I'm not here to add on to your discouragement, okay? And it's not the purpose of this. The purpose is to remind us if anothering is important. Like we have said that anothering is what we're trying to do. One another, care for one another, members of one another. Then sheer statistics are going to tell us that we have some that are discouraged in our midst. Is that a fair statement? That some are in a season of discouragement. Then can we use our faith to hold them up? Maybe this sermon doesn't even apply to you. Maybe you're not in a season of discouragement. You're tired, but you're working through. Everything's going great. Well, things are happening, and you're excited. Great. Can we use your faith? Can you come along somebody and lift some arms up so they can praise God? See, Paul says in Romans 15, verse 13, that he is the source of hope, and I want you to be filled completely with hope. The reality is probably some of you in here aren't filled with hope. You have some. You'd like some more. Can we be those people that pour hope into others? I love this quote from C.S. Lewis that God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks to us in our conscience, but he shouts to us in our pain. It is the megaphone with which he uses to rouse a deaf world. You see, his plan, I believe, is put our hope in him. Look back at the verse. Paul says, "Will fill you completely with joy and peace." Is there anybody in here that could use a little more peace? Is there anybody in here that could use a bucket more of joy? Okay? He says, "I want to fill you with that." But too often, we settle for less. And we hope less. Notice I didn't say we are hopeless. I say we hope less. We don't have the hope that we should have. And I don't think that's the way he wanted it. I think he wanted us to put our hope in him, even if the discouraging season keeps going. One of the strangest lawsuits in all of American history happened in 2007 in the state of Nebraska. His name was Ernie Chambers. He was a state senator at the time. He went on to become the first African American senator from the state of Nebraska to go to the U.S. Congress or U.S. Senate. And he filed in circuit court in Nebraska. I filed a lawsuit against, you ready for this? He filed a lawsuit against God. He filed a lawsuit against God. He sought an injunction against God because he kept interfering with the world. Here is what he charged God with. In his plea, he says this. He charged God with causing fearsome floods, horrendous hurricanes, and painful plagues. I guess he liked alliteration. I don't know. But He said, God has done all of these things, and I'm suing him. Well, the court dismissed the lawsuit, obviously, but dismissed it with prejudice. Their reasoning, they didn't have an address for God, so he couldn't get the notice that he was being sued. Chambers responded, and he said, well, if he's omniscient, he should know he's being sued. And we laugh at it. We go, that's ridiculous. But there's a little truth in there. I bet we all know people that have put God on trial, have condemned God, or condemned the church because something didn't work out the way we planned. I'm afraid sometimes we put our expectations of God above our trust in God. And if expectation is here and reality is here, what's right in here? Discouragement. Have we put our expectations above our trust? You see, if we put our trust up there, then expectations are down here. I'm like, it doesn't matter. I still trust him. I'm not saying that your problems are weak or you're weak. That is not it, because some of you are going through really big things. But I had to ask myself questions this week. Am I following God in a way that requires faith? Am I doing anything in my life that absolutely requires me to have a confident hope in God, not in me? Let me see if I can illustrate this to you. How many of you have ever gone scuba diving? Anybody in here scuba divers? Okay, we got a few that have done it. Anybody? Okay, does everybody know what scuba diving is? Are you alive out there? Is this microphone on? See a lot of staring faces. Scuba diving, right? We know what it is with the big packs, and we go in the water, and the little thing in the mouth, you know, it makes you sound like Darth Vader. I get it, right? First time I got my license, I'd gone through the videos, I'd done the training, I knew all this stuff. I'm not a big scuba diver. I have sinus issues. You get down in there, and the pressure feels like my head's going to explode. But I was doing it, and it was the thing to do, so we were doing it. So I'm sitting in the classes, done all this stuff, and then they train you. They didn't even have the pack on me. They just had it sitting on the side. You just stand in a pool, a swimming pool, right? Put the breather in. You know, you're just sitting there supposed to be doing that, right? It's no big deal. And they say, okay, Don, breathe. All right, whatever. You know, and then, so now get in the water. And so you start stepping in the water. And this is what happened. The closer I got to the water, this is how my breathing sounded. And then I get back up here, like, because my brain is going, this is not right, okay? That's water. We don't breathe underwater. Even though I'd seen all the videos, and I've seen James Bond movies, I know what happens. I can't do that. I was like, why? The closer I got, I had to put my trust in that machine. I had to completely trust that machine. Everything in me is saying, don't do this. This is not comfortable. But I had to put my trust in something that was not me. Friends, our faith needs to not be in life circumstances. It's in the character of God, the consistency of God. Great is thy faithfulness. All the songs we sang today are about seeing him and praising him, and he is worthy of being praised. Then Paul says in this line, then, if you'll do all that, if you'll put your faith in, you'll have this confident hope, then you will overflow with confident hope. Now that sounds like where we need to be, amen? That sounds like what we need to be walking in. What he's saying is, yes, discouragement is real. Yes, pain is real. Yes, cancer is real. Divorce is real. But hope is realer. Hope is bigger. Hope is stronger. Did you hear the lyrics? When I doubt it, Lord, remind me I'm wonderfully made. I wish all of our teenagers could get that. I hope you're hearing that. When you doubt it, Lord, remind you you're wonderfully made. Because he's an artist and a potter. We're canvas and clay. He says, I know nothing has been wasted. No failure or mistake. You may be sitting here right now discouraged because everything has gone wrong and it's not working out. But our God is a potter and an artist. And did you notice how we're to get this confident hope? Look back in verse 13. Where do we get this confident hope? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Friends, Christianity is not a self-help course. We're not here. I don't want you going home saying, hey, well, you need to try harder. No, it is a Holy Spirit-led transformation. I love that when Jesus is saying goodbye to his friends, he's saying, I'm going to leave you. And they're going, no, 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 no. In John chapter 16, he says, I'm going to send a comforter with you. No, no, we want you to stay here. He says, it is to your advantage that I leave, because the Holy Spirit can be everywhere. You see, Jesus could only physically be in one place, but the Holy Spirit can be with us in Portales, America. We have him right here. The Holy Spirit is here for you, even in your discouragement. Let me see if I can illustrate this. Why is getting to church so hard? Anybody? Let me see, does this ever happen in your world? My family comes on Saturday night. We got three kids. We're trying to get everybody in the shower Saturday afternoon, get everybody dressed, okay? Make sure you got shoes. Landon comes out, two different shoes. Everybody's doing all kinds of craziness. Anybody? Come on. All right. So then you get everybody in the car. You run by McDonald's, shove some food in them. All right, let's go. Hurry up. Run. Let's go. Let's get in. And you're the worst version of yourself, right? You're driving here, you're yelling at everybody, yelling at your kids, yelling at the drivers. You people are stupid. What's going on? You know, you're the worst version of yourself. You're rushing here. You get them down to kids' zone. Sign them in. The code won't work. You sign them in again. Stick the little sticker. Run down here. Get you some coffee, and you sit down, and you go, oh, finally. Okay. All right. Now I'm ready to worship. Now I'm ready to see the glory of God. Does that happen to anybody? Okay. This is what all this means. This is what all of today is talking about. God wanted to meet you in the car on the way here. He wants to be with you in the mess. When you're angry and frustrated. When you're sitting and waiting for the doctor to call back with results on those tests. When you're wondering where the next paycheck is going to come from. When you're not sure what your family is going to do. Not sure what anything's going on, when you're hurting and when you're yelling and when you're judging and when you're angry and when you're selfish. In the mess, God wants to be there too. He wants to be there with you. The Holy Spirit is here and he wants to be with you. And Wesley's words keep ringing in my ear. Pain, life is pain. Anyone saying different is selling you something. I'm not asking you to fix your discouragement. Honestly, you can't. That's not a thing that's on your resume. That's a Holy Spirit change. Let him change. I'm asking you to step in the direction of where he is. Step in the direction of what is going on. And in fact, I'm asking you to look at what is discouraging you. Really, honestly, look at it. And then hand it over to him. We used this verse, this Lamentations verse, a couple of weeks ago. And it's just been ringing in my ears. So stick with me for just a couple of seconds. The writer says, I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. I'd be willing to bet that people in this room and people watching online can resonate with those top two lines, right? And maybe it's not death of a physical death. Maybe it's a death of a dream. Maybe it's a hard season you're in. And you say, man, if we just stopped at those first two lines, I'll never forget this awful time. That'd be a real discouraging verse. It'd be a real discouraging Bible. But look what he says. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Some of you in your head are singing, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And he finishes it, and I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. What the writer is saying is your discouragement is real. He says it. I'm never going to forget that. It's real. I want you to own it and show it, But don't sit there. Sit in the faithfulness of God. That's why this Running the Gauntlet series is hard. It showed that image of our young people running and passing the baton onto each other and smashing through those words of worry and anxiety, of guilt and discouragement when they would run through. But they are passing the baton on to somebody. That's how we started this whole series with in Running the Gauntlet football. They're holding the football. They're trying to strip the football out of you. And the same thing in running. They're trying to hand off the baton and trying to catch that baton. Someone near you is hurting. Maybe this sermon isn't for you, but somebody near you is hurting. Can you point them to Holy Spirit cleansing? And I want you to hear this. It's not just think happy thoughts. It's more than that. It is moving the direction. This requires movement, moving in the direction of the Lord. Seek His face. Seek His kingdom. Not fix your problems. How far will you go to bring hope to somebody? I got one more story, and we're just about to finish up. We've been singing this song lately. I'm fighting a battle you've already won. And we're going to sing it again in a minute. We're going to go old school. We're going to have an invitation. We're going to have all of this. But I want to share this before we're finishing up. Philip Yancey is a writer. I love his stuff. He tells a story about a buddy of his that is a recovering alcoholic. And he shares it in one of his books, and he says this. He said, when I'm late to church, this is the alcoholic friend is talking to him, right? He says, when I'm late to church, people turn around and stare at me. I feel frowns of disapproval. He says, I know it's probably not there, but I get the message and the feeling that I'm not as responsible as they are. Said, but when I'm late to AA, so the meeting comes to a halt, everybody jumps up to hug me and welcome me. And then these lines, listen to this. They realize my lateness may be a sign that I almost didn't make it. That I showed up proves my desperate need for them won out over my desperate need for alcohol. Maybe you're fighting a battle today. In the old days, we'd finish up church and we'd sing 738 verses of Just As I Am. We're not going to do that. But they would have an altar and come down here and kneel. And maybe you need that. Maybe you want to come down here and kneel in front of the chairs. Maybe you want to kneel where you're at. Maybe somebody around you is hurting and you just want to pray with them. We have our prayer room. We have some prayer warriors that are going to be in there. I'm going to go ahead and ask you guys, ladies and gents, to go on that direction. And they'll be there to pray with you and pray for you. And if God is speaking to you about your discouragement, don't leave this place not knowing He is for you. He has already won. We work from victory, not for victory. And maybe you're not struggling with this, but you know of somebody at home or in your family. Will you make a commitment to get in touch with them today, this afternoon, tomorrow, and really let's bring courage back to them? There are a lot of people hurting. We want to another one another because our hope is in Him. Amen. Let me pray over you, and then we're going to sing this song together. Father, when I doubt it, remind me that I'm your child. When the world and the discouragement is too much, remind me that you've already won. And for hearts that are hurting in here today, move. Move in their lives, move in our lives, that we can be encouragers. Pour courage into other people because our hope is in you. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to audio from Central Christian Church in Portales, New Mexico. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. To connect with us, visit our website at centralwired.org.